Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of December 9th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Oh.
And Joe.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Oh, we will get to that in a second. So right before you guys rampage across Florida, we gotta get the podcast out because there's way, way too much to talk about and skipping a week. So,
fuck yeah.
So let's get right into it. Joe, you already hinted at it. But yeah, finally, after 2 years or more.
two plus years.
Yes, two Comic-Cons.
Of just the tip.
Yeah, two Comic-Cons.
Yeah, you like Godzilla, huh? You want it? You want to suck the Godzilla a little bit?
Yeah, finally, the first official teaser trailer for Godzilla 2014.
Yeah, and you know what? When they put it up on the Muto Researcheru site today, I was like, they just showed that little like screen cap for, you know, for the trailer, because it was like mirrored from YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was that like pretty, by now it's kind of iconic, that like screen cap of the building with the like atomic breath hole like blasted through it. And that's cool and all, but when I saw that, I was like, are you fucking kidding? I swear to God, if this is just the teaser that leaked, like, and especially when I saw the word teaser, I got so worried, but luckily it turned out to be more of a, like, a treaser, like halfway between a trailer and a teaser.
From what I've read, it feels like they edited this year's Comic-Con trailer and the teaser trailer like one, but they cut out some stuff. Cause like apparently at Comic-Con, everyone was talking about, there's like insects that were running around, or like these weird bug monsters that Godzilla fights at some point that were in the trailer,
yeah,
and stuff like that. But
that is definitely going to be the first full trailer. This is still technically the first official teaser.
Yeah,
the Comic-Con teaser, and I'm assuming what would have been like an official teaser, the one that leaked and has been online for a while,
with the Oppenheimer quote.
Right, with the Oppenheimer quote, like, that was based off of the Comic-Con footage that came out 2 years ago.
Just like, here's our proof of concept of what Godzilla is going to look like.
Exactly, exactly. And the last shot of this teaser, or of this official teaser that just came out today, Tuesday, when we're recording this, that last shot is basically exactly the same as that proof of concept teaser from Comic-Con, except it's been drastically updated.
Yep.
And I think it looks much better, but it's pretty much the same idea.
Yeah, I think Godzilla looks super awesome. Like, he looks super good. Like,
can I just say, like, how much I love the fucking, the concept of, like, the reveal of Godzilla when they're doing that halo jump.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, the frantic, like, first-person view. And at first you just see, like, little flashes, like, what the fuck is that? Like, is that a building moving around? And then, oh.
Yeah.
That is fucking gigantic.
That's his toenail.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, very, very, very gnarly. And I love the idea of a... or at least what they're kind of implying by, you know, all the accounts that we've heard and just the sheer size of Godzilla. You know, it looks to me like Godzilla from the... this is not, you know, Godzilla Begins in the sense that it's like, oh my God, he has to fight this monster and it's his greatest test. No, 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 no. This is Godzilla, the king of the monsters, who's fucking shit up from the get-go.
There's like, because all the... like, we stupidly unleashed a couple more monsters, and Godzilla wakes up and is just like, all right, time
what's
to smash.
Yeah. The fuck's making all that noise?
Yeah,
yeah, like,
these,
this is not
these, like,
be like
giant bugs that are basically ticks to be annoying me.
Oh, exactly, exactly. It's gonna be a lot of Godzilla, like, smashing the fuck out of stuff, and basically being the king of the monsters, and
yeah,
just, like, you know, him not really having an equal. I think going forward in the sequels, we'll probably see more even-keeled one-on-one battles, you know,
Pacific Rim style.
Pacific Rim style, but that's something, you know, and you nailed it right there, because I was going to say, this is not going to be Pacific Rim. This is, I mean, the battles will probably be epic, but it's going to be epic because of, like, the cool shit happening, not necessarily because it's Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It feels like it feels like it's going to be way less goofy, too. Even though I loved Pacific Rim and all its goofiness, but...
Man, I just bought Pacific Rim, man. I loved it, too. I thought it was great, but...
This is, like, so, it seems, like, so, kind of serious and, like...
Drastically different.
Realistic, I mean,
obviously you can look at the trailer that just, or the teaser that just came out today, and it's very somber, it's not goofy. I mean, other than that little, like, mission brief that's going on with the Halo jump, there's no dialogue. Mm-hmm. And there's very little sound except for the roar at the end, which I thought was an awesome creative decision to really make it even more of, like, of an impact at the end. But, like, even before we saw the tone of this movie with this teaser, with this official teaser at least, just the casting that was coming out of this movie.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Like, I mean, have you heard of Breaking Bad? Yeah. Because that's Heisenberg, homie. Like, yeah. This was not going to be some sort of campy, like, Matthew Broderick Godzilla, which, you know, that movie has its place in my heart. And, you know, I think... In some way or another, we can all, like, say that we love that movie, probably because it's just crazy and stupid and a guilty pleasure or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is very, very different. This is what the original Godzilla was intended to be, which is a, like, social commentary, but it's also a fucking monster movie.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston, like, David Strathairn. Like, I mean...
Ken Watanabe, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like... That's a bad dude right there, man. He's not just going to be like some Japanese dude selling fucking, you know, dumplings on the corner somewhere while Godzilla's rampaging around. He's going to be like, you know...
He seems like he's maybe this Muto group that's like... Because it seems like the viral site, which we're talking about, like, that. Mm-hmm. I think, what was it, like Friday last week or something? Or Monday?
Yeah, it was Monday because it was... Day before the trailer came out.
But there's this,
so
it's Muto Research, which is like apparently some sort of like kaiju research group or like some sort of government group. It's like tracking evidence of like monsters or something.
Yeah, and you know what was so genius about that too? Like, what I really love about this viral marketing campaign so far, like, some of it was cool. Like, you know, when they were coming out with the Comic-Con stuff, like the fake news articles that were going up, like, that was cool and all. But, like, they're tying this into, and I think this, what the real genius of this is that they're tying real-life shit that actually happened
mm-hmm.
into this marketing and putting the spin on it, like, oh, no, that was Godzilla. Or, like, oh, no, that was a fucking monster, and we just covered it up. Like, that's really cool, because that's where that whole, like, alternate reality thing sort of comes in. Because, you know, viral marketing, you know, solve a puzzle and you get a poster or you get, like, you know, a clip from the trailer. Like, that has its place, but this is, like... This is a narrative, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is, I would say, this could be on par with, like, the Cloverfield viral marketing, which was, at the time, like, really groundbreaking, or even the Dark Knight viral marketing, which was just, like, people lost a year of their lives devoting devoting themselves to that thing. So, you know, I'm not saying it'll be that good, but I think it's definitely closer to that than, like, hey, share this on Facebook, and you'll get to see this alternate poster. Like,
yeah.
We're a little bit beyond that already, well, which is great.
They do have an awesome, like, if you share your Facebook on that Muto site, it basically, like, pulls up, like, this, like, alert, like, hacker alert. It's like, this person has been unauthorized access. And it's like, it pulls, like, your location and everything to it.
It's very cool. I pulled it up at work today at 1 o'clock to see the trailer. And a coworker was like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, I swear to God, it's for the new Godzilla movie. Yeah. And she was like, oh, that's cool. Because it seriously looks like you're trying to do some, like, Matrix shit. I was like, I am not violating company policy.
Yeah.
I am on my lunch hour.
What'd you think, Chris?
I thought it was great. I don't know, maybe because I grew up with later Godzilla movies first, where, like, he's battling the shit out of monsters and not really caring about what humans think.
Like Final War and stuff like that? Or
like, no, Final War,
like, 2000.
Oh, God. Like, I forgot which one was, like, the aliens watching Godzillas. And
all
they
of them?
Each, like, there were human aliens. There was, like, this really Japanese-y one. Like, they're wearing, like, battle suits, and they're battling each other
basically,
while monsters
like,
are fighting.
Basically everyone but the all first one was, yeah. like, there's, like, these weird aliens are here, and they unleashed a monster.
But
was
like
that when Toho tried to like modernize it, they're like, hey,
well, yeah,
people, like,
the modernized
alien.
One, where
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah.
okay, like they're humanoid aliens too, and they're like human size, and they're like controlling other monsters. Godzilla's fighting during the regular fights.
Are you talking about like Gigan showed up and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, yeah, like I'm used to him like fighting Mothra or fighting with Mothra or fighting Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm used to the
Ghidra,
the really goofy. Because those are more goofy and less serious about a nuclear bomb than it is about, right. like he just stomps around Tokyo
yeah.
pissed off until they're like, hey, like, stop fucking off and protect us.
I think
yeah, this movie...
He basically is just walking around talking shit and no one could understand him. He's like, motherfuckers, like, smashing buildings.
And then Godzuki like, showed up.
Right, so, like, Godzuki. that's what I grew up with. So watching Godzilla be, like, a serious Godzilla where, like... If you think about it, Godzilla is probably the worst thing for Japan. At the same time, he's the best thing for Japan, like, in the movie, because other shit pops up.
He's their Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's what he is. So this movie, the teaser trailer we got, just shows all, like, the negative thing Godzilla is about when he's in this,
well,
like,
yeah,
city.
Yeah, he's not gonna be like, yeah, Godzilla, go! It's gonna be like,
there's no,
it's like,
get him, Godzilla,
it's like,
get
it's
him!
It's like, oh, fuck, this is the apocalypse.
Right, right, and that's great because I like movie because
like
Pacific Rim had that
yeah,
in the opening.
Like this is gonna be like pre-Jaeger Earth of Pacific Rim. Where like how like what was it like 5 weeks later we finally brought down the first kaiju or whatever.
Something
yeah.
like that, and like that's great.
It was like
that showed,
like 2 weeks
like,
and 500 miles later we took down the kaiju.
Right, because like no, like the thing that I know it's not gonna happen. Is that like no like kid's gonna like run up to Godzilla and show him love and Godzilla's like okay, I gotta leave now.
Are you confusing Godzilla with Gamera?
Well,
Gamera is friend of children.
Well, yeah, Gamera loves hanging out with kids.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about Gamera. Like I think there was another Godzilla movie where like a kid like he learns the love of like.
Well, there's one like those kind of like middle ones where like it's Godzuki and it's like yeah Godzuki
yeah.
you're my best friend. We're gonna play with your
yeah,
dad.
Godzuki's
yeah, Godzuki's
size. So like,
listen,
kid,
I got warrants. You can't, can't be touching me.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to see where this goes. I just kind of want to know, like, did you ever notice in the trailer like all these people in like tunnels and they're all like panicky because are they being crushed or like do they fall into like some sort of vault system? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think that probably has to be some sort of nuclear thing. You know,
yeah.
I mean the imagery is everywhere. Like
definitely,
when they're loading that warhead
yeah.
at one point.
And definitely
teaser.
Like Ken Watanabe opens that door and there's like something broke through the wall. So I think it's gotta be like the bugs that they
yeah, it's definitely one of the smaller monsters, I think.
And like the
yeah,
description
I mean,
is
like
science and humanity's hubris unleashes monsters and then Godzilla
yeah.
or something.
I really just want like a John Romero, like Runino scene where he's like the French resistance from like the first move, like that. The remake.
Nuclear,
movie.
Like, special forces.
Yeah, the French tactical team.
Yeah.
That would be funny as hell.
It's like they try to do something, but they all end up dying.
That would be really funny.
Where the hell has John Renault been in a...
I don't know, man. He's probably just fucking...
Hanging out in France.
On a chateau somewhere, just
I think,
fucking chilling.
I think the last thing I actually remember...
Heist?
Well, no, the last thing I remember being in was, like, on him, like, was it was in, like, Onimusha 3 or something, because they had, like, the whole thing of, like,
well, yes. That was years
yeah.
ago.
Because the whole thing of, like, oh my god, we got Jean Reno.
We don't know how, we just did.
Don't question it.
Oh, he was in Alex Cross.
Oh, god. Maybe that's why we haven't heard anything.
Don't cross Alex Cross.
Ha-ha.
Not a lot of people walked away with careers after that movie.
No,
except fucking Tyler Perry, who is our generation's Shakespeare, arguably.
But he has Christmas out this week.
Which, surprisingly, I kind of want to see. Like, not just because, like,
how
the hell they fit.
Yeah, I want to know how that movie is not, like, the causing the apocalypse, because it's, like, it's Madea plus Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes, I'm like, this is, who thought of this formula? Who thought this would be great?
It's like Satan teams up with, like, some, I don't know, someone else.
Super
yeah.
teams up against a Super Satan.
Satan and Death team up.
But yeah, I'm excited to see where this movie goes.
Yeah, so anyway, so I would say, if not most anticipated, definitely like top three anticipated movies of next year, Godzilla.
Fuck yeah.
You can't get any worse.
I'm kind of shocked that this isn't coming out in 2015. Just saying, because of all the big-ass movies and everything, like, it definitely has that sort of feel to it. Like, I feel like this movie could have gone head-to-head with a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe not, like, Avengers 2 or Batman Superman, but, like, this would have been an awesome, like, June movie.
Mm-hmm.
Next year. But, hey, fuck, I'm glad it's coming out when it's coming out. Yeah, oh, exactly. I'm not complaining.
So, speaking of summer next year, two other huge summer movie trailers came out this week. First one, I think you watched it, Chris, right? Jupiter Ascending.
Yep.
The latest from the Wachowski siblings.
Yep. It's,
they must be stopped.
Which, did either of you guys see Cloud Atlas?
Nope.
Okay.
I almost bought it for like 99 cents on Amazon on Black Friday.
It was,
just to say I saw
it. It's super ambitious and some, like, a lot of it's pretty cool, but like some of the really depends on like what story you're in, right? Because like some of them are just completely boring and uninteresting, but then some of them are like crazy, like it goes from like weird period drama to like crazy sci-fi future chase movie.
Damn.
So it's just like, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Asian section is kind of weird from what I heard.
It's like, yeah, Neo Soul. And like Halle Berry is like a Asian
a
man.
Guy?
Yeah. That movie was just bad
shit.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah. It's like
unnecessary.
Like, let's make Hugh Grant like five different people, and like Halle Berry is gonna change race every scene and be, and then Tom Hanks is gonna be like an angry, like, soccer hooligan at one point.
Damn.
But, yeah, so Jupiter Ascending, kind of back, like, one story, back to, like, straight sci-fi, which is probably their best wheelhouse to be in. And it kind of feels a little bit like Terminator a little bit or something, because it's like...
A bit.
Because
it feels...
Mila Kunis is, like, this seemingly normal, just, like, girl on Earth, and then crazy alien Channing Tatum shows up and is like to protect her, and then like just everyone, like basically everyone's trying to kill her, or like she's like the key to the universe or something.
She's like, I guess, Earth's representative of Earth. Like they her to be.
If you go on IMDb and read the description, is just like pure gibberish.
I skipped it once I realized this plot, the beginning plot, is the MIB 2.
Oh, like Mila Kunis is like the what was it, like the
Rosario
Dawson, Light of Zathura, like whatever it was, Light of Zathura.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I was like, huh, I've seen this in Men in Black too, where they're like, hey, by the way, you're an alien queen living on Earth. You don't know this. Enjoy.
Yeah, so,
like everything you loved about Earth.
Yeah.
Forget that.
So here, like, IMDb says, in a universe where humans are near the bottom of the evolutionary ladder, a young destitute woman. Human woman is targeted for assassination by the Queen of the Universe because her very existence threatens to end the Queen's reign.
Sounds legit.
Sounds how, like, Mila Kunis lives every day.
And also somehow Sean Bean factors in.
Yeah, I love how they're trying to guess how Sean Bean dies within the movie. You see him for, like, the first
few scenes
of the movie.
There's no way he's not dying in this movie.
He is, yeah, he is gonna get, like, a starship fall on him, or he's gonna, like, choke on something. I don't know.
You think I want to make it out of this?
the little ones, where are they?
wait, which one was that one from?
Lord of the Rings.
No, the one quoted.
Yeah, the little...
Oh, no, that's from The Dark Knight. It's Harvey at the end.
I'm trying to think of, like, his quote from Equilibrium. He was just like,
reading.
He was like quoting like Chaucer or something.
Nerds.
I'm reading a book.
Chaucer.
But I mean, visually, Jupiter Ascending looks just like insane.
Oh yeah.
Like it's gonna be nothing else. It's gonna be just like crazy, visually awesome. I don't know if the story's gonna make any sense at all, but
And I love how they really, really, like, harness Channing Tatum's, like, weird stone face. Like, they really made him alien-looking with that.
Like, he's like a weird space elf.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, this kind of makes sense to him. I kind of like this look for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be a big July release next summer.
Damn.
And last huge trailer to talk about this week is the first trailer for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Woo! Strap it in.
Which is going to kick off summer next year, first weekend of May, followed by Godzilla. I think the thing of this trailer is villain overload.
Yeah, man.
And weirdly, not even the main villain, because, like, Electro is barely in this trailer.
Yeah, even though, what is that even about?
Everyone's just like, because everything they said is like, oh, Electro is the main villain. And now I'm saying that the whole trailer is just like Rhino and his crazy, like, Rhino Zord, and then, like, Green Goblin shows up, and everyone's like, what the, Green Goblin's in this movie? What the hell?
And I feel like the Green Goblin was such a late addition. Yeah, because people, for the longest time, we all assumed, like, it was just Electro, possibly Rhino.
Yeah, everyone knew Harry Osborn was coming back, but everyone was like, oh, well, they probably just hinted at the end of the movie that, like, one of them was going to turn into Green Goblin, like, either Norman or Harry. But then it's just, like, on the poster that they released, the day before the trailer came out, it's like, everyone was just like, is that Green Goblin down there? And then it's like, in the trailer, it's like,
no, I don't know who it is. Like, it looks like it could be... It could be Harry or Norman.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I think,
but during the trailer, it looked like Norman doesn't. Norman doesn't look like he's gonna make it.
No, he is possibly on his deathbed.
Yeah, I was like, oh wow, I don't need to see this scene already.
Which makes it seem like who the hell visited Lizard in jail at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 1.
My money's on Mysterio.
And it's the same dude, and that same mysterious dude shows up and, like, walks past, like, Vulture's wings and Doc Ock's arms.
Yep. Let it be Mysterio. Let's introduce something more wacky.
Well, I mean, I think they've pretty much said, like, this is gonna lead to Sinister Six.
Right, and you need Mysterio.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you definitely do. But, I mean, they showed, you know, you saw in the trailer that they had Vulture and Doc Ock.
Queued up, yeah. Like Oscorp, I mean, Derby, like, Oscorp.
They put it pretty much right in your face, yeah. So
Oscorp continues to be the key to everything.
Pretty much.
The source of all evil in the Amazing Spider-Man universe.
And you know what? I'm okay with that, but I'm just worried about them, like...
That's how Ultimate... Because this is still, like, even going even more toward, like, Ultimate territory. Because, like, Ultimate Spider-Man was all... Everything occurred because of Oscorp.
Yeah.
Did you remember the whole, like, demon juice where they drank it and they just transformed to, like, giant freaks?
Well, I mean, that's what, like, Ultimate Green Goblin was just, like, Norman turned into, like
the Hulk.
Yeah, basically the Hulk.
Hulk smash.
Yeah. Like, he had no, like, he didn't talk, he just, like, like, blew up the entire
screen. But you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, on film, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not what's gonna happen, but I wouldn't mind.
I mean, yeah, it's a little better than it's better than if they introduce, like, a gas chamber again, like, where they say, forget Trials, and just drinks the thing. And
yeah.
I don't know how Harry in the original one, the Sam Raimi one, became Green Goblin by that green gas, which is, like, cool, I'm super powered now. I'm just angrier William Dafoe.
Yeah. Turn on the gas! There was a firefight!
Yeah, definitely a lot going on.
Yep.
And it's either going to be what makes the movie stand out as awesome or fall below our expectations. Like, it's a very ambitious looking movie.
Oh, definitely. Like, three villains and also...
at least.
Also, there's stuff going on, like Peter finding his, like, father's secret lab and more secrets
so
going
scared.
On. And, like... and
I'm so worried.
They've heavily, heavily hinted that, like, also, this is the movie where Gwen dies.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're like,
they're building
like,
up to it.
Like, Mark,
awesome.
Mark Webb was like talking, like, I think the day the trailer came out, he was talking about, like, oh yeah, Gwen factors in a important and terrifying way or something. It's like, okay, yeah, we know what's going on there.
You know what would be the ballsiest thing ever, and I honestly think would be probably one of the most admirable moves they could ever make. Not saying that they will do it, but if they did, goddamn, would they have my respect. Imagine if that was the last frame of this movie.
It's like Peter holding Gwen's dead body.
Her dead body. Mm-hmm. And then fade to black. Or maybe some sort of voiceover where he's like swearing revenge or some shit like that. But like, that's what they should...
Like Rocky style, just like, should, Goblin!
No, but like in the comics, he's not just like, oh, raspberries. Like, yeah. Gwen is dead. You know what I mean? Like, he gets really fucking,
isn't
like,
the cover the,
passionate.
The cover of the next issue is like, I'm going to kill the Green Goblin.
Pretty much. Spider-Man, like, you know, put one hand on his balls and the other on a gun and just, like,
I have to kill the Green Goblin.
Went to town, yeah. It was like, now you're going to see some shit go down. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, dude, I would just really love to see them have the balls to end it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, not on a positive note, on a, wow, things just got kind of crazy. And I know that's not going to sell a lot of toys, but, I mean...
Dead Gwen, the toy!
But I can't... The Dead Gwen playset.
Yeah.
Is she alive? Is she dead? Is there a pulse? With crying Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's, like, it's on, like, a string, and then when you... It's like, well, like, it's tied like Spider-Man when you pull it, like, her neck snaps.
Yeah, and, oh, God, but you know what I think, the only thing that makes me think that she may not be in this, or she may not be dying, in this movie, is that they cut out Mary Jane.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that makes me think that maybe she's gonna live for one more movie, and then die in the third.
Well, they probably cut Mary Jane up because there's way too much going on.
Oh, and I see why.
Yeah.
I definitely see why.
It's like we could have Mary Jane or a Rhinozord.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like that the Mary Jane thing would have made the Gwen dying thing a lot more, like, poignant, you know? Because Peter might already feel super guilty about having a, you know, spider chubby for Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's supposed to be that whole kind of tension or whatever between them that's never resolved because Homegirl dies.
Hmm.
So it's just yet even more guilt and, like, uncertainty for Peter to carry on. And let's not forget, Eddie Brock is apparently factoring into this shit, too. So,
yeah,
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Like, there's a lot
wow,
of
they're,
goddamn
they're really
balls
patting
in, there.
In this movie.
Listen, man, this is basically like the one movie Marvel universe for Fox.
Sony.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
This is like, they have to sort of, you know, whip it out and and show it and just hope that someone does something with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't be like, oh, maybe it would have been cool if we did this. Fuck that. No, this is like the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they have to swing for the fences. And it might work, it might not, but, you know... They are definitely not looking at the long term right now. They're looking at, like, how much can we get into one movie?
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of bizarre, too, because now the news is that Andrew Garfield is, like, not coming back for the fourth.
Yeah, he's slowly backing out.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't know.
The thing is, like, they're talking about it, which is really strange.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like if, that would be like if Christian Bale was, like, saying, you know, oh, there's no way in hell I would ever do another Batman movie, like, before The Dark Knight Rises ever even comes out. You know, and he was saying, like, the only way he would do it again is if Christopher Nolan, like, you know, had a vision and blah, 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 blah. But he's not like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Like, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's just kind of strange. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird to go into the movie knowing, like, oh, and there definitely won't be a fourth. Oh, it's definitely going in another direction. Oh, it's probably most likely going to be rebooted. Oh, okay.
Because, like, Sony will, like, Marvel will have to, like, blow up Sony to get the rights back, pretty much.
Oh, I'll have to fucking...
Or pay, like, just... Like, Disney will have to pay
Infinity
just, like...
Infinity money.
Yeah.
Infinite money cheat.
Yeah.
That's, like, actually what would have to happen. But, yeah, it's... I mean, listen, I think there's a lot of potential for them to go forward without Andrew Garfield. And don't forget, there's still a whole other movie that has to come out after this sequel. So we're getting I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but looking ahead to the future, I don't think that it needs to be, unless it's a total piece of shit, that is, I don't really think it needs to be rebooted out of principle. Like, I have a strong hunch, like, what DC is going to wind up doing with this Justice League movie. I mean, Man of Steel 2, or whatever you want to call it. But we basically know it's a fucking Justice League movie at this point. It seems to me like they're getting Batman in this movie, and then they're just going to be like, oh, by the way, he's been Batman for a really long time, and this is all the bad shit that's happened to him, and this is where he is. So when they start with their own, like, New 52 universe Batman movie, they're not going to have to start it with an origin.
Yeah.
He's just Batman, and this is what he does, and they could jump into stories, which is awesome. I think that would be perfect for Spider-Man going forward, because we're never going to get to Spider-Man 2099 if,
if
we have to keep rebooting it every 6 years, you know? Well, I think that would be cool to have something like that. Even if it's like, even if Marvel's had the balls to do like a, I mean, I know Elseworlds is DC, but it would be cool if they had like the opportunity to do like a Marvel 1602 or like a fucking Punisher Frankenstein movie
Like, copy DC as far as like the anime movies go, because they can do so many of those.
Yes.
Like those storylines.
Well, they did for a while. It just didn't really do as well, and they sort of gracefully bowed of it.
I mean, they had like Planet Hulk and
well, some of the like listen, Hulkverse was fucking
yes,
that was really good. But like like for every hit, there was a miss.
Hulk
versus
Wolverine was a better Wolverine Origins movie than Wolverine Origins.
Absolutely, absolutely agree.
Because they basically recapped the entire Weapon X program in like 5 minutes, and it was super
less
awesome.
Than that. Yeah. Less of that, and then it was just like, oh yeah, we're just going to
be
chasing
each other. And then like actual Deadpool and like Omega Red was there, and
it was basically everything you wanted to see in a Wolverine movie. Mm-hmm. And then they just threw in Hulk for like added mayhem.
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. So yeah, it's admirable that they gracefully backed out of it, but they also sort of went on to build the fucking Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I think is the absolute gold standard for, you know, any sort of comics on film, whether we're talking about ABC, Disney, Marvel, or, you know, Disney, Marvel, or Fox, Sony, Marvel, or, you know, Warner Brothers and DC. Like, I think, obviously, Disney, Marvel is head and shoulders above the rest. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling like that had to do with them kind of putting all their eggs into that basket and taking a chance.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, speaking of Fox, Marvel, we got a tweet last week from Bryan Singer that got confirmed, by Fox that X-Men Apocalypse is going to be the next movie after, Days of Future Past next year, coming in 2016, X-Men Apocalypse, which I'm assuming is going to be based on, like, the Age of Apocalypse storyline or feature Apocalypse as the main villain, so that's pretty awesome.
Did you guys see, I'm assuming you saw, but I don't know if you avoided it or not, the fucking massive spoiler that came out for the end of bumper after Days of Future Past?
That's going to, like, lead into Apocalypse?
Pretty much, yeah. I like the idea, and I won't talk about it, because I don't want to, like, spoil anything if people are really trying to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this, it makes sense for what I think they're trying to do with Days of Future Past, how they're trying to set up the future stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am just sort of like fundamentally disappointed by the fact that they're changing things this much. It's kind of, you know what I'll equate it to? It's kind of like in the first, to make another Batman analogy here, but it really is just like this, how in the first Batman film, the Tim Burton one, the Joker is the killer of, spoiler alert, 30 years later, the Joker is the murderer of Batman's parents.
Yeah,
you don't like, say. And,
right, Chris is like, damn it, what? When did that happen? No, but like, you know how in the context of that movie, it makes sense, and you don't hate it, but you're kind of like, but why do they, like, why do they need to change that? Like, yeah. It wasn't necessary, but I guess it makes sense. Something like that is going on with the Apocalypse origin and, like, how he, like, I guess rises to power, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, we'll see how it actually pans out, but I think it's great to know that we are for sure getting, you know, Apocalypse. And now it's just going to be, you know, who wins 2016, the inevitable Apocalypse movie, or, you know, are they actually going to bring Darkseid into the mix for a 2017 Justice League movie?
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to win the space bodybuilder father figure villain?
Ruler of the future Earth.
Yeah, pretty much. Because they are the same character.
Pretty much, yeah.
Very.
Because fucking Darkseid lives on Apocalypse.
I know. Oh, my God. It's just like... It's basically like they're trying to bait each other into a lawsuit
yeah.
that they don't want to have. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
We're going to spell it really stupid.
Spell it like a fucking dumb second grader.
Yeah.
Acocopolis.
Acocopopolis? Is this a Greek restaurant or a fucking comic villain?
The Apocalypse episode of the like Fox X-Men cartoon though was that was so awesome. Because like it is like first 5 minutes they kill all the X-Men.
Yeah,
it's just like
oh man, I remember watching that episode when it first aired and be like, what the fuck is happening?
It's like X-Men vaporize, cut the commercial,
screaming like no. Like someone had just come into my house and like murdered my family in front of me.
I think that's the one where Cable comes from like is coming back from like the 31st century, but then also Bishop's coming back from like the 22nd century or something. And they're both like, well, I got to save my future, but like I got to save my future.
Fuck your future. You ain't got.
It's like we got to kill Apocalypse. So we got to keep Apocalypse being killed, but save the X-Men. It's just like it was like. These Future Past times, times 10.
Yeah.
And then Bryan Singer's going to be back to direct that as well as he's directed Days of Future Past.
Which is good news, yeah. Man. I like Bryan Singer's X-Men. It's as long as it's not a fucking giant gay disco, like...
That, I mean, that was kind of just the one seed in two, but...
I know, but, like, everything with a superhero that he touches becomes, like, a big gay metaphor, and I know that we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't need this to be a fucking Macklemore song. I just want it to be a fucking X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a Macklemore song.
Listen, I'm just saying, man. And I don't mean that to be offensive. I mean, like, you know, if you want to make a movie about fucking, you know, gay people being oppressed, make a movie about gay people being oppressed. But if you want to make an X-Men movie, maybe make a fucking X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, the X-Men are basically stand-ins for any oppressed race.
Oh, absolutely. But, like, just don't make it so obvious.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of other superhero stuff, possibly in our addition to Batman versus Superman, we had Gal Gadot added last week as Wonder Woman, and now we have possibly Jason Momoa coming in as an unspecified character.
As Jimmy Olsen.
Oh my god. It's like, Jimmy, you've been working out.
Jimmy put on muscle weight.
And he talks in like, oh god.
Just total Hulk speak.
No, I was like, what, Chris, what's the language that the...
Oh,
that the
Targaryen.
Yeah, well, no, Targaryen is like the, like, upper, like, the, like Dothraki. Dothraki the entire movie.
Just grunts and chants and then just like cutting himself.
Yeah.
That's intimidating if like Clark is like his assistant is that.
And then he forces Superman to like eat a horse heart or something.
Listen, dude, then, like, all I then, know like, is that he better be Lobo.
He should
oh my
and
god.
Then he gets into an axe fight with Batman.
And then he dies from like the flu.
Yeah.
Or gets a bullet to the head.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. He could be a few different
Lobo would be awesome. I mean, he'd probably be a pretty solid like Deathstroke.
Man.
He's too big as a Deathstroke.
Fucking like Crixus with Spartacus is Deathstroke right now.
Deathstroke would be cool, but you know what would be even cooler, I think? What if he was like Flashback Bane? Or like a fucking like Bane cameo.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. Like what if they went Batman No Man's Land on us, which is a bit of a callback to late 90s DC awesomeness, but fucking when Lex Luthor hired Bane to be his private like security force.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool. Or just have Batman like break down and cry. And then Bane called me names, and then
they should do like what happened in like
it broke my back.
Like what happened in like Justice League Doom, where like he dug up his parents and like kicked him into the grave.
Like skull fucked yeah. in front of him. Hey Bruce, you gonna cry?
Cry in your daddy's skull.
Bruce misses his mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very mysterious, but I'm going to be real upset if he's just like a fucking, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia green man and they turn him into Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
You know? Just, like, put him in a green spandex suit and you're like, here, wear this cape and cut eye holes out. You're going to be Martian Manhunter.
I was trying to see if like anyone had any sort of, like speculation.
Well, I mean,
Jason Momoa like cast as Doomsday.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I actually did read that too, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think that you have to save Doomsday for the third Superman movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said Doomsday is the villain of Justice League.
Really?
I thought that's what. They, oh no, wait, was Dark? Oh, Darkseid was going to be the villain of Justice League.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here, and it's so funny that you say that too, because I was just thinking like. You know, Doomsday has to be, you know, what Bane is, obviously, to Batman. Like, that's something he has to face on his own. You know, like, it would be cool if you already had the DC Universe established by the time that that movie came around, so that maybe you could have cameos in it. Like, you know, Batman, like, no-showing Superman's funeral or something like that, and then it cuts to Gotham and you see him, like, putting people's heads through walls because he got, like, really aggressive and violent during that time period in the DC comics, which was very fucking cool. But, you know, like, that sort of thing would be cool, but it has to be in a Superman movie. Although, on the other side of the coin, what better way to do a Justice League movie than to start by taking their single most powerful, like, tool and their leader
mm-hmm.
out of the equation? Maybe that would be a better Justice League sequel, like after Darkseid and they all come together. Like, what happens when you get Mortal Kombat Annihilation and it starts with killing off your strongest character? You kids like Johnny Cage? Snap!
And then everyone's recast.
Yeah, except Liu Kang.
I think it was Tae Katana too.
Yeah, but
just like
I don't even remember that she's in the movie.
Like, and it was just like the most like ridiculous explanation for like how Raiden turned into like
and cut his hair yeah. and like the Night Wolf goes on like a vision quest with.
And then,
dude, I bought that movie for $2 at Best
and
Buy.
And then Malibu
on
from
X Friday.
Merc Gladiators. The first season.
Oh Merc yeah,
like
yeah,
he was
yeah.
like a Mentoro or whatever.
Yes, Motaro.
Yeah. And it ends with, like, the worst CG battle in the history of anything.
The weird monster fight yeah, at the end.
Yeah, like, animality fight.
So stupid.
And it's, like, Cyrax and Sektor when they're, for, like, no
okay,
reason.
Okay, that was actually a cool sequence with Jax yeah. in the fucking...
Oh, man, I woke up, I have...
Government lab.
I woke up, I have robot arms. I don't know.
What the fuck?
I wish I was Michael Jai White.
Everybody does. We all wish you were Michael Jai White.
Yep.
Trust us.
He didn't get cyborg arms in the Mortal Kombat Legacy yet, but
soon enough.
Hopefully.
Oh, but now that director is actually off of the Mortal Kombat
yeah.
movie, which is just
sucks.
Fucking miserable news.
Yep.
But whatever. That you know what that tells me? They're just not making it.
Probably.
It's probably what it is. Oh, well.
So, anyway, moving on to other news. The new Terminator movie is coming out sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I believe that's a 2015, jam, along with everything else.
A 2015 joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Terminator Genesis, if I remember correctly.
I think that's what leaked out as, like, the kind of subtitle of it or something.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, a quasi-reboot.
It's a reboot.
In the same universe.
Yeah.
And where things already happened, and, like, it's not John Connor, but John Connor has come and done stuff already.
Yeah, Sarah Connor's back in sort of, like, mid-20s, sort of.
Oh, it's sort of, like,
it's like
weird big hair
in
day.
Between years, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so they announced last week that there's actually going to be a new show to go along with the movie.
Oh, because the Terminator TV shows have been always successful.
Yeah, like Sarah Connor Chronicles.
A lot of people like
that,
man.
A lot of people love
never
that show.
Seen it,
yeah.
But I hear
I'll see it one day.
I wonder if it's just like Firefly fans who are just like, oh man, Summer Glau.
So passionate,
yeah.
And then it's, you know this isn't good, right?
Yeah. I watched like, the first couple of episodes. And I was just like, I cannot take this.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch anything with Christina Hendricks in it, but that's just pushing it.
So anyway, so the new show, I guess this might factor into the new movie as well. They said it's gonna take a key event from the first Terminator movie and kind of go in the opposite direction of what happened. So in the movie, it happened this way, but in the show and the movie, it's gonna go this other way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people like...
So like a alternate universe,
yeah, like,
type.
Does Kyle live? Or like Sarah gets killed? Or like what the hell... It's like a lot of people are like, what the hell event could happen that like... They said it's a key event from the first movie.
I don't think they're going to kill Sarah. But
no.
I do think that they're more likely to have Kyle live.
Yeah.
Which could be kind of cool. But I don't think that he would be like the... protagonist of the series.
Oh my
Unless
god.
Unless he was, that would be interesting.
I just thought of something really dark and so, like, guaranteed to piss people off.
Just
is that, like,
marriage?
No, like, Sarah Connor,
my
you
baby.
Know, her role, besides leaving, like, cryptic, like, military, like, rants to John, is, like, her ovaries.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So what if they just take her ovaries like they did in Terminator Salvation with John's heart?
Mm.
And then it's like a whole new character. It's like, oh, you just have Sarah Connor's ovaries. You just...
You're barren.
Yeah. Oh my god. And that's how they make this whole new, like, side story where it's like, the genes are still... It's like that Batman John thing where it's like the genes are still the same, but,
yeah.
like, the carrier is different.
Mm.
That's a dark sci-fi path they could take.
It is dark, you're right.
And then it's
dark.
Like, wow.
Especially if that's the whole, like, point of the movie. Or of the series, rather. Like, if they're just like, we have to get her womb.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, even if they don't get it, if they're just like, womb, like, smashing a table every time she gets away.
Dear God.
We're so close.
The robots are just like, have, like, abortion tools on their hands.
It's womb. She's close. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. Unlikely, but
I think the main event that I can think of that would be like different, like set things differently would be Kyle living, I think.
Yeah, because they can't kill Sarah,
yeah.
Because then that does the whole Terminator universe.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, Kyle living or not living doesn't really make much of a difference. What the only thing that matters is that he knocked up Sarah before he dies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even that, oh my god, unless the twist is that, like, Kyle wasn't the father, and it was actually the Terminator.
Or,
I got the
or,
little
yeah.
another dark theory, what if it was John? So he's his own father?
He went back and sloppily inseminated his mother.
And then his brain is special, so he can, like, defeat the brain spawn.
No.
He doesn't have the Delta brainwave anymore.
I'm not saying this is a good idea, but what if...
I'm just saying it's an idea.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So speaking of TV shows, the From Dusk Till Dawn show, it's going to be on Rodriguez's new network, El Rey.
El Jefe.
I think it actually debuts, like, this Sunday. Like, I don't know
it does.
I don't know where you're going to be able to see it or anything like that, or...
I have the channel for Comcast, but other than that, I don't.
Is it gonna be a Spanish language channel or is it gonna be like English?
I think it's English, but it's just like
kind of like
shit that
knows like it's kind of like BET.
I don't know what that really means. It's just kind of like It's like, apparently it's going to be like FX Latino, just, like cool they just, movies.
They just,
and like,
they just show like From Dusk Till Dawn and Plant Terror on just on repeat. And like the El Mariachi trilogy, just like it's all they play for like 24 hours. Instead of Cops reruns, they have that rerun.
I mean, that might not be such a bad thing, but I mean, I don't know.
But yeah, so apparently this From Dusk Till Dawn show, which is going to be like kind of the, one of the key shows on the network, is in like the Pulp Fiction Tarantino universe because they just tweeted out a pic of like on the set that features Big Kahuna Burger.
That's awesome. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, insane to like introduce vampires in that universe, but they did murder Hitler, so
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like, as listen, and as you, long as they're not like, we have to get to the Big Kahuna Burger and meet Jules and Vincent. Like,
yeah.
If there are little nods to it, that's cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool if, like, it was, like, just, like, mentioned, like, they say, like, oh, this is so-and-so Vega or something. It's like, oh my god, it's like his cousin or something.
Right, right, right. As long as there's no, like, we need to go save Jackie Brown from,
yes, from vampires.
The ghost of the people who killed Django.
Yeah. Like. It's like Django Jr.
Django Jr.
Like, boy, you bleed, boy.
I don't know.
I just bought that. I'm so excited to watch it again. That was an intense movie, dude.
But, man, it was, yeah, so great. Mm. It's worth buying it just for, like, that KKK scene alone.
Oh, fucking A. Absolutely. Absolutely, that was.
I was spent so much time cutting out the eye holes for y'all, you assholes.
You know, it's funny because there's a podcast producer by the name of Lee Syatt, very talented, very cool guy. He produces Joey Diaz's podcast, but he made a really great point about Django Unchained, and he said that it's basically like it's proof of concept for the talent of Quentin Tarantino when he puts his mind to something and isn't like meeting a deadline. Mm-hmm. Because that movie, he basically, like, put, what, like, at least 4 years into, like, between Django and Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. So he basically had time to develop it. Like, he wrote it and directed it, and it was really, like, his project from beginning to end, and then we see how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully whatever he does next will be in that same vein. Have the same amount of TLC going into it, even though he's doing another Western apparently next, right? But it's not like Son of Django.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I think he nailed the genre pretty well, so I wouldn't mind seeing another. I wouldn't mind seeing his like take on the Man with No Name type movie.
I like how like. Is like only thing coming up is Kill Bill Volume 3, which that'll happen.
Right. Yeah, that'll happen right after Pulp Fiction too.
Yeah. So anyway, last bit of news for this week is that Disney has the rights to distribute new Indiana Jones movies.
Oh boy.
Which I guess I think everyone kind of just assumed that came along with like Lucasfilm, but there's some weirdness tied up with Paramount, and Paramount still has the rights to distribute the original four movies, and Disney's never, like, I don't know if they'll ever, I'm sure they'll eventually someday be able to get those rights, but for now, Paramount, any new, like, Blu-ray sets or anything like that is going to be Paramount still, and Paramount still gets, like, a cut of, like, any new movies that get made.
Yeah, man, we were talking about it a little bit before we went on air, and it was just like, what the fuck, like, how does this deal work out in Disney's favor? Because no matter what, like, the old movies and any future movies, like, that money is getting split with Paramount. It's not 50-50, but Paramount's still seeing a lot of money from it. And, like, really, how much faith could they have in new Indiana Jones movies doing well
critically
or
commercially? Especially after 4,
yeah. Especially after 4. You know, which is why, like, there are a lot of people who are, like, you know, in the industry who are kind of thinking that it's probably not going to be so focused on movies, new movies per se, but on like possibly television or animation, you know, reboots, tie-ins, merchandising, that sort of stuff.
If they got, like, the right person, I would be down for, like, a kind of rebooted Young Indiana Jones sort of thing where it's like...
Jason Statham.
Oh, my God.
Indiana Jones.
I'm going to punch my way through history.
An artifact. I'm going to kick it.
Shut up. It's like, shut up, Ernest Hemingway. Get out of my way. Hold it.
I'm going to drive away from it.
I'm going to beat Charles Lindbergh across the ocean.
And we're going to fight on this blimp. Yeah, that would be cool. Listen, man, I love Indiana Jones, but I'm not one of those, like, crazed Indiana Jones fans that, like, builds a altar made out of earwax to, like, Harrison Ford's interpretation. You know, like, I think Indiana Jones is great. I think it's cool. I'm a big fan, but I'm not exactly going to, like, you know, cry blood if they decide to remake it. As long as it's not Shia LaBeouf, and as long as it's someone who, you know, can pull off the role, and as long as they're not trying to, like, recreate the wheel. You know, like, if you're going to reboot Indiana Jones, don't do, like, a classical reboot. Do, like, a spiritual reboot. And I think Disney knows this.
I think they know better
than to try to make Raiders of the Lost Ark over again.
I don't think you could ever make Raiders of the Lost Ark again.
Right, but if you want to do something like Batman Begins,
you kind of seen, like, what you could do with kind of, like, a more modern, like the first Mummy movie was, like, basically an Indiana Jones movie.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Uncharted is, like, modern, like, modern day Indiana Jones sort of thing.
Absolutely. Basically, what you would need is that sort of modern day element, but even if you wanted to say that it was, like, Indiana Jones's grandson or, like, you know, in the future, like,
Smith.
I don't know. Something along those lines. Like, I don't know. I don't even know if it has to be Indiana Jones. It might just be an Indiana Jones movie, but it might be Nathan Drake. I don't know. Like, someone who is, like, an admirer but isn't actually indie. Like, there are a lot of different ways they could go with it. The only thing I'm adamantly against is, like, saying we are rebooting and doing the three, like, classic movies. I think that would be the absolute worst idea in history.
There would be that, yeah, like, people with torches would be at Disneyland, right, burning it down. the indie ride at Disneyland.
That would be the worst thing since Seussical.
Yes, I don't know. We'll have to, like, wait and see how that pans out. I think they're pretty focused on Star Wars right now, so I'm sure Indiana Jones is in the back quarter for a little bit, but...
Rightfully so. But the funny thing is, there's some scuttlebutt. There are people saying that part of getting Harrison Ford to be in episode 7 might have been something in his contract that, like, sort of pushes a new Indiana Jones movie, because those are obviously huge paydays for him. So this might be more of a, like, gesture than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they might say, oh yeah, well, now we have the rights, so we could go ahead and start, like, courting him for a new movie. But, you know, for all, not that I ever hoped that this would happen, but for all we know, he could, you know, drop dead before they ever even, you know, have a script for a new movie, because we saw how long it took to make that other Indiana Jones movie, mm-hmm, that came out recently. But
I'm trying to think, like, if they did, like, sort of like a reboot, like, younger, like, it's like 20 or 30 year old indie, like, who would be a good indie?
I don't know. If you're gonna keep him, like, the classic Indiana Jones, like, that sort of gruff, mm-hmm, like, cool but not necessarily suave archaeologist type character, I could see someone like Chris Evans, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would
say, like, Nathan Fillion.
I could see that.
Because that was, like, everyone's like, he has to play Drake!
Yeah.
He's a little too old, sure, now.
Yeah.
Right, but yeah, no, he would be a good indie. I mean, I think...
Let's just get Nolan North.
Oh, he looks nothing like any...
Yeah, he doesn't look at any of his characters. Yeah.
Why not Michael Fassbender? I don't know. There's.
I'm sure he could do an American accent. Go.
Yeah, for sure. Even if he didn't, I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, he's an archaeologist. I mean, you could just make up some weird excuse. Like, oh, I was born in wherever you want to say he was born, but father, well, we moved a lot.
My dad was Sean Connery. What do you expect?
Yeah, seriously, how do you explain that?
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's it for news this week. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about.
Don't
that was
so.
A ton of stuff.
That was
it's like end of year, just like, we have to get this out before the end of the year. So, let's get into the new genre for the week. And our pick of the week is Fast and the Furious 6.
Poignant.
Which I think we mentioned last week, if you buy it, you can help out Paul Walker's charity. Portions of the proceeds are going to go to that. And it's also just a kick-ass movie, so it's like win-win.
Yeah.
I don't think either of you guys have seen that yet, right?
I haven't, but I'm very
excited. Yeah, definitely check it out.
See it.
It's not as good as Fast 5, but it's right up there.
No. Yeah, yeah. Listen, if it's even nearly as good as Fast 5, I'm sure I'll be thoroughly entertained.
Mm-hmm. Also have Despicable Me 2 out this week, which I don't think any of us have seen.
I haven't seen the second one. I mean, the first one was cute. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought it was pretty funny. I'm sure this will be just as good.
One of the best, like, not Pixar, not Disney movies.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the most, or one of the most successful.
And I mean, it's probably better than some of the Pixar movies that have come out recently, too, so.
Yeah.
Doctor Who 50th Anniversary, which is the special that aired a couple weeks ago, where I guess they got, like, most, like, a ton of, like, the older Doctors to come back and stuff, and.
The ones they couldn't find, they just replaced.
The ones who didn't die.
Or fade into the London underbelly.
I think John Hurt was like the new, like a new doctor that they introduced or something too.
No, John Hurt was the one of the older doctors that they replaced that died.
Yeah.
So they just John Hurt's like Doctor Number Four or something like that.
Mary Poppins 50th anniversary is out this week on Blu-ray, just in time for that Saving Mr. Banks or whatever movie.
I actually am looking forward to that movie.
I've heard it's pretty good.
I've heard it's very selective of what they want to show because epilogue is like way more tragic,
darker.
Yeah,
I've heard like the Tom Hanks stuff is really super awesome because it's like backstage, it's like behind the scenes at Disney in like the 60s or whatever. But then
exactly,
it's like, but then it goes in like this weird like, oh my childhood, my dad was Colin Farrell, and we had a nanny and we lived in the middle of nowhere in America. This is like, where's Tom Hanks?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, her version of Mary Poppins, it's very bland.
Yeah.
But, like, it's all glorious to her.
She came in and married my daddy, and we also taught us lessons about life.
Disney's like, just, like, booing her the whole time. Boo! Get to the point!
Yeah. It's like, I want to see Tom Hanks, like, run around in, like, Mad Menning her.
Yeah, oh my god. I would have loved to see Tom Hanks being that Walt Disney that, like... that had that problem, like OCD problem, like his whole controlliveness and his closet racism. I want to see that, like that.
the after credit scene is like Tom Hanks pitching Song of the South.
Him like lighting a cigarette and then like burning it on someone.
Picture this: Brer Rabbit, Brer Bear, and a slave guy singing songs.
It's about the blacks.
They don't want to leave the South. They love it.
That'd be awesome.
So, anyway, also this week is Futurama Volume 8, which is the final season of Futurama.
Sad to hear.
It was...
For now.
Yeah, it might come back. Who knows? For the
you
third
can't
time.
Feel it.
It was... Either you guys watch any of the, like, last season episodes?
No.
Parts.
The last episode was really good, like the final episode.
Well, because it's like concentrated thought.
Yeah,
like there are a bunch of filler episodes. So
definitely a lot of this is all right. It's not, but like they're not gonna like go down as like the greatest Futurama episodes of all time. Like the season before had like some the forward time machine episode where they had to keep going forward in time. That was like one of the best Futurama episodes ever.
That was, like, episode 3 of the new season.
Yeah, like, well, season 9 or whatever, because it's like, I think this is like season 10 or something, and like that they were ended on or something. We have The Original Secret Life of Walter Mitty this week.
Ooh.
Starring Danny Kaye and Boris Karloff.
Interesting.
The Great Muppet Caper and Muppet Treasure Island in a combo pack this week. It's called...
That's a solid combo.
A Pirates and Pigs collection.
Adorable.
25th anniversary of Big, speaking of Tom Hanks. Man of Tai Chi, which is starring and directed by Keanu Reeves. And like weird, like I've heard it's like Bloodsport a little bit or something. Like it's kind of like kind of cheesy and like it's like basically just like a fighting tournament. And like Keanu Reeves is like this like evil promoter guy, like kind of like getting this like Tai Chi guy into like the tournament to win.
Well, it's to do it to like piss off their old master
or something. But yeah, like Keanu Reeves is just like this like super sleazy agent guy who's just like, we gotta get you in that tournament.
Classic.
Battle of the Year, which is the latest dance movie, is out this week that no one went and see. It's the exact same plot as Best of the Best.
Really?
Yep. And it ends the same way as Best of the Best too, I've heard. Like it is basically like plot for plot for plot, Best of the Best, because it replaced karate with dancing. Because they go to North Korea, like they go to South Korea, and the South Koreans are like the world champions of dancing, and it's like this all-star team of dancers from America coming back to get the trophy back for America.
Okay, you're the boss.
And that's it this week. So yeah, there you go. Go check out Fast and Furious 6. So while we get into show and tell for this week, and I don't know, who wants to kick it off, Joe?
I feel like we all watched something this week.
Uh-huh.
The Killing Season.
Killing Season.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately,
I saw it earlier, so I know what actually happened, but I don't know what happened that Saturday.
That was a bizarre movie, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you guys think of it, since I have no idea what happened?
Yeah, man. It was, okay, if I had watched it in a non-drunk commentary setting, or drinking commentary setting, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. not an official everything alcohol, but whatever, mm-hmm. I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more. And the reason I say that is because, like, yeah, it was crazy with the whole, first of all, the plot, but, you know, just crazy John Travolta accent, and even Robert De Niro hopped on the accent train too, but like
he fades in and out of being Southern.
He does. It was very bizarre, but at the end of the day, like for all the crazy things that happened in the plot, like it wasn't a terrible movie.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, it's kind of
like
certainly.
I put it in like that. Like you guys remember that Tommy Lee Jones movie, The Hunted?
Yes.
Yep.
It's definitely passable, and you know what? Like, there are some kind of cool sequences, too.
like
the arrow through the mouth, that was kind of cool.
And, like, waterboarding him with, like, salty lemonade.
Waterboarding with salty lemonade was definitely a new trick that I picked up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's cool stuff like that. But, yeah, there are just a lot of things that, for me, I wasn't really a huge fan of. So, yeah, it certainly wasn't as bad as I had heard,
mm-hmm.
or as bad as I thought it was going to be, rather, in all fairness. But, yeah, I don't know if it's something that I would, like, run out to see again anytime soon.
I just want to know, like, John Travolta showing up, like, first day on set and is, like, doing the accent. Everyone's just like, yes, that is the accent you are using.
That is it right there.
You have struck gold.
Yeah. Like... It would be great if he was definitely just supposed to sound completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what if I did a crazy accent? You know, like this, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, interesting if, like, he'd, like, work to disguise his accent to, like, he would just pass himself off as, like, American and then, like, reveal himself at the end of the movie, like, oh, have you ever been to Bosnia? Or whatever.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. But Another interesting thing, too, while we're talking about accents, though, is that Robert De Niro, and I pointed this out, too, while we were watching it, but Robert De Niro's, like, southern accent was definitely, like, just taken from watching later Steven Seagal movies.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because, like, he sounded like Steven Seagal trying to sound like a southern black man. He didn't sound like Robert De Niro. Like, they're probably like, oh, Mr. De Niro, do you want to work with, like, a speech coach for, like, you know, getting your accent down? He's probably like, nah, I'll figure something out. And then he was probably like, I got nothing.
Yo, babies better come over here and,
Yeah, what are you doing there, chicklet? Like, what? Yeah, what's going on over here?
Hey, man, you're born the year of the dragon. That's lucky.
It's lucky, man.
That's one of my favorite parts of Lawman, where you're like, there's a drunk guy inside the hospital. He's just, like, talking to him, and, like, he's like, the guy's like, oh, it's my birthday. And then Steven Seagal's like, oh, it's your birthday today? That means you're born in the year of the dragon, son.
Stay off that crack pipe.
You should get yourself home safe. Just walk home. It's fine.
Just walk on home.
We give you a ride home, but we got full SUV.
Oh, man.
Is that show still on, or they just, like, paused?
I think it was, like, two seasons, and they went to True Justice, and then I think
What was it that was another big thing? Like, he seems to go did, like, a assist on a raid, and he ended up killing, like...
Hey, like, drove a tank through a wall, dude.
They killed, like, an animal or something.
I thought they went to, like, something... They thought there was, like, a cockfighting ring.
Yeah, but he ended up, like, killing
like,
all
it's like Texas, and they, like, drove a tank through the wall and killed a bunch of chickens.
They sure did.
But then they said, like, Steven Seagal was in on the ring or something. it was some insanity of, like, they raid this cockfighting ring and then, like, kill a bunch of chickens and then arrested the guy and turned out he wasn't cockfighting. And then it was just, like... And then he escaped and he, like, fled to Russia.
Oh, good.
To hang out with his BFF, Vladimir Putin. To talk about... To become, like, the face of Russian arms. I want to see those commercials. Hopefully those will end up on YouTube, like, Steven Seagal promoting Russian arms.
Yes, like, Russian AK-47, best gun in the world, man. Right here in Russia.
Come get yours now.
You can't compare.
If this is a guitar, I play it. I play some blues on it.
Take you down to the crystal cage.
Oh, man. So, anyway, besides Killing Season, what else did you watch, Joe?
You know what? I've been watching a lot of Christmassy stuff, so, I saw... Tis the season, after all. I saw the classic Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Claymation and Marionette.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Classic.
Was it Rankin and Bass, I believe, was the company?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they basically made everything. Like, Year Without a Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, mm-hmm. Island of Misfit Toys, all that stuff. I think Santa Claus is Coming to Town is my personal favorite. It might not be the most popular. I think arguably Rudolph is probably the most popular out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rudolph's definitely, like, the clear...
Yeah, it definitely is, but that's fine. I mean, I just always enjoyed Santa Claus is Coming to Town the most, because I think...
Does that have Heat Miser, Snow Miser?
No, that's the Year Without a Santa Claus. So that's probably more famous than Santa Claus is Coming to Town also. Santa Claus is Coming to Town is basically, like, this weird, very... cute and sort of, I mean, I don't want to call it, like, well thought out, but it's like an attempt at an origin story for Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually not terrible. Like, it's really, I mean, watching it now, I'm like, oh, well, like, whoever came up with this was, like, at least pretty slick, like, with how they explain things. I mean, some things make no sense, where it's like, oh, he learned to, like, slide down rooftops from, like, seals who, like, slide on their bellies, and it's like, okay, well, that's maybe stretching it a little bit, but there's also some, like, adult humor in it too, and not, like, sexual stuff or anything, like, that's inappropriate, but, like, just stuff that I see now and was, like, laughing at, like, oh, that's someone who understands comedy. Like, there's a montage of him, like, learning how to do stuff, like, in the woods, like, how to, I guess, like, run gracefully like a deer, and then, like, climb trees, like, with the ease of a squirrel. And, like, they're not saying, like, he learned to climb trees from squirrels, but, like, they're kind of showing it or whatever, because he grows up in the woods. And it's funny, because when he first goes to the village, there's the infamous Burgermeister Meisterburger, who's this weird, like, quasi-Nazi, like, fascist leader of this town. And, like, the first time that you see Santa Claus or Kris Kringle in action, he's like, he leaps like a deer and climbs like a squirrel, like, in this really, like, crazy German accent. It's just very funny the way that they sort of, like, it's very campy, but it's tongue-in-cheek. Like, they know what they're doing, and it makes it very funny. Mm-hmm. But all in all, like, at the time, this animation was pretty much mind-blowing. I mean, even now, it still holds up pretty well because nobody's doing anything like this. And certainly not for television. So that was very cool to see. I mean, I own it. I could watch it whenever I want, but, you know, if you're watching it in, like, July, there's something wrong with you. And I also haven't seen it from beginning to end in a while, but my girlfriend had never seen it, so I showed her, and it was good times were had by all. So that was definitely very cute and kind of got me more in the Christmas spirit and all that good stuff. I believe last week I talked about seeing the Santa Claus. I don't think that was this week. Other than that, no real movies or anything like that going on. I caught up on Sons of Anarchy. I'm actually missing the season finale right now to do some casting. So much love to you guys, because goddamn did I want to see it. But I'll watch it tomorrow.
Alrighty. So, Chris, what'd you watch?
I watched A Haunted House because Netflix kept telling me I should watch it. So I was like, okay.
Not like Paranormal Activity or anything. all the horrible, like, knockoff of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, and it mocked 1 and 3, mm-hmm. not 4 for some strange reason.
She was coming out next year.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's out of the two comedy movies we watched, they both suck. Like, Paranormal Activity and Scary Movie 7, I think we watched, right, Joe? Like,
was it
6?
Yeah, five, six, Haunted yeah. House was definitely much better than Scary Movie 6.
I just wish the ending was more coherent, because, like, it's pretty good up until, like, they get to, like, they start running out of material. Like, they start repeating jokes, they start, like, making fun of, like, the things that we kind of understood about the series, you know? Oh, it's spooky, oh, it's a ghost, oh, it does random things. Like, I feel like they had a bunch of jokes about the first Paranormal Activity movies, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, there's no coherent plot to this, where they had a bunch of scenes and all the actors. I feel like they ad-libbed it a lot for this movie, you know? And they're really good actors to just do that on the fly. Like, what's his face? The guy on Comedy Central, what show did he have? Okay, so Joe, you saw this movie. I'm talking about the gay, yep. like, paranormal activities, psychic guy.
Nick Swartzen,
that's it.
Yeah, he was fucking brilliant, dude. He was one of the best parts of this movie.
Yeah, I love Nick Swartzen. He's so underplayed in this.
He is, but that makes it perfect.
I guess. I feel like they could have, like, introduced a lot more characters doing a lot more scenes, but it's like Cedric the Entertainer shows up near the end of the movie, and I thought he'd be in the beginning and just make, like, appearances throughout, but he's kind of like, oh, this is my segment now, and I'm just going to do some random jokes. And, like, yeah. then he just leaves, and I'm like, oh. And then we never see some of the jokes, like, fully pan out. Like, there's one joke I really did like was the Mandago fucking, where, like, the neighbors are into, like, interracial banging. And yeah, so that was cool. They kind of hint at that. And then near the end of the movie, they show that as a payoff joke. So this movie's a whole bunch of a lot of setup jokes that, like, they saw. But, like, right at the end, it just abruptly ends. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Like, this is – I thought if there was, like, one big final, like, gag that kind of, like, set up from the beginning of the movie – this would make sense, but they just kind of like, we ran out of weed. We had no idea how to finish the scene. But, I could see how, like, they finally made a parody movie that was kind of, like, better than Apollo 15 or 14. I always keep forgetting the number.
Apollo 18?
Apollo 18.
That wasn't a parody. That was just, like...
I know, but I kept thinking it was, because after I thought about it, like, that movie sucks so bad. But yeah, so Haunted House, if you had a choice of seeing either or, go with Haunted House. You'll still be upset no matter what. But
Chris, would you agree that the movie seems a little bit in the writing disjointed? And what I mean by that is obviously it's just like a series of jokes, right? Like it's not like a cohesive like plot movie. It's more like, oh, it'd be funny if we made fun of this scene and these jokes happened. But yes. I feel like a lot of the stuff works a lot better than some of the other stuff. So it seems to me like you could really see like who the strong writers were and like where the fluff kind of came in.
Right. There was definitely like tag out moments where it's like, now you write
right,
the scene.
Right.
Now I'll write
right.
the scene.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the impression I got during it too.
I think like every Wayans member got like, mm-hmm. to write something and this is what happened. And like, I guess the up and coming Wayans, like they wrote a few scenes and they're just like, okay, you get to write the end.
It could be. But I think what saves it a lot is that Marlon Wayans, like you said, is so good at like, you know, stealing the scenes, obviously, but also like that sort of improvising and like,
yeah, a lot of
on the
skits,
fly sort of stuff.
A lot of things are like skits that like they just kind of like came up with and filmed it, and like they some work, some are like this really like cringy like this is like a joke for the next part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely not like a best parody movie. It's kind of like oh, because like the trailer gives away a lot of the jokes and some of the punchlines, and then
it does, yeah.
Then like most of the time, just like something gets knocked over, and then they just like rant about it, and then. The next scene is just like the next day, and it's like, oh, okay, let's forget about that.
Dude, all I know is when she was getting fucked by the ghost, and then when he got fucked by the ghost, hilarious.
Yes, took a lot of balls to be hilarious. Like, okay, I do what now? Like as an actor, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or like when he's like banging these like dolls. And that goes on for like an uncomfortable long.
That
minute.
Was very uncomfortable, and that's like one of the first scenes too.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, this is like the
that's
metaphor.
What's happening.
Yeah, this is. That happens more than once, too. Like,
I know, it's a recurring thing.
So. Okay, so and then to switch gears, I started watching this movie that we both, me and Zach, discovered is this like slap to the face of Asian culture. Gun Ho. Anyone familiar with this movie?
Michael Keaton one?
Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it like before the podcast a couple weeks ago because you're like trying to think like reverse Japanese movies or something or.
Well, we're trying to do like the 80s moment where we thought Japanese was going to be the new like savior for a lot of things, especially for the audio industry in the mid 80s where like they start buying up a lot of real estate to make their cars.
We're talking about Rising Sun for some reason, and then we're just like.
Well, because we're talking about, like, because we thought Asia would be this, like, especially Japan, would be this, like, hot wave of, like, new, like, lifestyles.
Yeah, like,
it was for a while.
Taking over our jobs, man.
Right. And they did for, like, maybe a year or two, but then, like, something happened where they had their own economic crash, and then we kind of, like, took over again. And now it's a little balanced, like, these days. But in the 80s, it was all Japan. Like, ninjas, fucking, like, Toyota, Sony TVs, and Walkmans. It was just coming at us. But Gun Ho is this perfectly, like, set-in-time movie that you can't reproduce exactly because it makes no fucking sense. So it's about this, like, area in Detroit where I guess a car manufacturer shuts down. Like, they're, like, all these hardworking Americans, like, get laid off because the factory they worked in got sold out to some weird foreign car company that doesn't exist, like, in real life.
Yeah.
So all the employees hate this like new Japanese company because they promise like when we buy this factory we'll give you jobs. They didn't, and then eventually they start getting the jobs back. Like Michael Keaton is this like suave.
I can't remember like they're not as like productive or something. I think
no, they're fucking lazy. Like by today's standards, like this is why Mexicans have their jobs. Like there's a reason immigrants like came to America because.
Yeah.
The standard these people were producing cars was ridiculously slow. I'm only saying that based on a numbers fact, because it's like, from the beginning, it's like, they're very fucking lazy, like, and it's like, ah, that's just the American way, like, yeah, take your time, break production lines, like, forget safety, like, yeah, drink on the job, go ahead, like, and, like, that's the opening sequence, and...
It was a different time.
It was a different time, so this Japanese company comes in with, like, regulations, and blah, 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 you know, like safety measures. Yeah. And so, like, the beginning movie isn't, like, a fight against, like, this foreign company. It's about a company who, like, that wants to save lives, you know? Like, it's, like, their reasons for firing the staff in the beginning is, like, logical. Because they're like, hey, you shouldn't be drinking before 10. You know, like, maybe you should wear some clothes to work. Maybe you should wear a hard hat when you're building a car. Things like that. And so Michael Keaton is this smooth talker, like, blue collar guy who like rallies, like he's the voice of these like American people who then like weasels his way up the Japanese like businessmen and tries to find out who's like the most vulnerable and then like abuses them. And it happens to be this like other Asian guy that came to America to like lead an American life, and his life goes to ruins. Like culturally, he's a stereotypical Asian businessman who like doesn't know how to loosen up and is very like scared, you know, like nervous. And so Michael Keaton like teaches him how to like loosen up and have a good time and like drink and like tell his family to like chill out. The unsurprising twist is that like, yeah, his life goes to ruins because he fucking like relaxed on the job and this company like tanks. And so like, at the end, the car company decides, okay, fuck America, like, we are losing money, we're hemorrhaging money. And they, like, pull out and leave and shut the factory down, which is, like, I guess even worse for these people who got rehired to work and they did a terrible job anyway, and so they're fired and
They're also like, all right, we'll accept these Japanese ways. Yeah, we'll combine our Japanese ways with our American ways and make the ultimate company.
Well, that's the end.
Yeah.
You're skipping ahead. We're like, that makes sense, but there's a point where, like, they just say a whole bunch of weird, like, PG slurs to these Japanese people.
And also, like, they're supposed to, like, if they can make 15,000 cars, then they can stay open or something.
Yeah, that was the, like, okay.
That's, like this that's right. The movie, like, we need a plot for this movie.
yeah, because, like, 80% of this movie is just, like, how many weird insults can we hurl at these Japanese actors until, like, the actors want to go home? You know, like, half of the time, it's just, like, these random bit characters are saying like fuck the Japanese, and then Michael Keaton's like, nah, don't worry, we'll get money out of them. We'll like trying to figure out how to like profit during these people's like misery. And it's funny, you know, like at the time, but it's very culturally insensitive. And even like the title of the movie, Gun Ho, is like not Japanese, that's Chinese. So like off the bat, it's already like sending the wrong messages. But yeah. So, there's this big, like, okay, final task, like, make 15,000 cars, 15,000 cars in, like, a day?
Or, like, it's like they have a month to make 15,000 cars.
But, like, they don't do it.
Yeah, they're just like, this.
They go on strike for most of that time.
Yeah.
Until, like, the last day and maybe in a few hours.
And it's like,
and it's like
a ridiculous, like, 80s montage of, like, building cars.
Yeah, okay, so let me remind you, these people in the beginning of the movie were drinking and slacking on the job, right? During the strike, they were doing that four times as much.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were drinking during the montage, and then they went in and helped build a car. And it's like, I would never want to drive one of these cars built by these drunk factory workers.
Their best worker is Norm from Cheers.
Yes. He's the best wielder, except he was drinking a case of beer in the beginning, like, montage scene. And he let them, before they, like, they rally in the factory and they start building random things and more employees come. It's like, oh, I get it. They have good synergy. Like,
building
everyone's working
cars for America.
But, like, did you remember the end, Zach? I'm glad that you know this. It's really hard to describe this end part.
Yeah.
Because, so they don't quite get the $15,000 quota.
Well, because like, Michael Keaton's like, oh, shit. We're not able to do this. Like let's make, like, fake
shortcuts.
This. Yeah.
Let's
not put windshields in this car. Or, like, we're not going to put the motor in.
Engine.
Yeah.
One car doesn't have all the lug nuts.
Yep.
It's just like, holy shit. This Japanese company was right. Like, don't work with these people.
Yeah.
These people will get people killed.
Like, there's one, like, car that Michael Keaton's supposed to drive. Or, like, he's like, oh, I bought this car myself. This is my car. Like, the last car off the line is my car.
I'll trade my American-made car I made myself, like, 20 years ago with this Japanese car
made. It falls apart, and then, like, the Japanese, like overlords are like, well,
I'm impressed by that, yeah.
You hilarious Americans, we keep the factory open. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm just like, this company guy's going crazy. This is something that, like, the board of directors would, like, overthrow your CEO because he doesn't give a shit about money anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it's a comedy, but there's some little bit, like, I know it's the 80s, too, and cocaine was, like, popular, but there's a little bit, like, your business is terrible. Because they come under the 15,000 by, like, 100 cars. Yeah. But, like, the Japanese guy, like, forgives them. He's like, yeah, I don't care.
I thought they made, like, 13,000, so, like, 2,000 cars short.
No, no, he racks up the number, but then the last, like, 100 or something is inside the factory that they just barely put together.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's some weird total that, like, yeah, you didn't make the deadline, so you don't get this, like, paycheck, because that's just what deadlines are for.
Yeah.
And then, for some strange reason, just ends up like, yeah, I like this. Like, you guys came together and helped, but, like, you shouldn't get, like, this bonus because you obviously made, like, death traps. Yeah.
I appreciate your efforts.
You're all fired again. But, yeah, like, and it's weird because this was, like, the movie to help revitalize the American, like, build a car in Detroit thing. Totally didn't. Like, Gun-Ho was, I probably marketed at the time as, like, yeah, Detroit, it's gonna come back to life, revitalize.
It's weird that, like, yeah, no Japanese company, no company anywhere would be like, we're gonna keep this factory in America open. If, like, a Japanese company bought the company, it'd be like, well, we're doing this all in Japan.
Well, it's kind of like if, for some strange reason, like, a Japanese car company bought the title Ford and never made a Ford in America again.
Yep.
They just make it, like, abroad. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. That's what should happen if the company gets bought out. But for some strange reason, they're pretty generous to, like, let it be here.
Yeah.
And then let the staff who, like, made that original company tank still work for your new company.
Yeah, you think they're just, like, fly in this, like, Japanese workers and be like, this is like, like, all Japanese, like, they take, like, move into the town and just, like, take over the entire factory and they're gonna keep it open.
And, like, revitalize the culture there,
yeah.
But, again, they try to do that with, like, a handful of people, and that's where, like, all the racist, like, PG racism comes through in this movie, and I'm just like, I gotta watch, like, all of this until I get to that weird montage.
Michael Keaton is building cars.
Michael Keaton should be charged for so many frauds because he, like, has all these promises and, like, fraud,
yeah.
like things that, like, he says he'll do, but, like, he doesn't. And it's a different time, like we said. Like, mm-hmm. You can just get away with this. But nowadays, like, you can't even lie about, like, what you don't know, you know? Like,
how can you stay mad at 80s Michael Keaton?
It's true. He had his charm about, like... Oh, this is, like, after Mr.
Yeah.
Mom, so it's like he's riding,
like,
that wave.
Yeah, it's that weird, like weird zone between, like, his act, like, straight comedies and, like, Batman.
Yeah, it's this dark period before. No, it was before that. Was Beetlejuice, I think. So it's like right after Mr. Mom and, like, Dream Team.
Yeah.
It's like this dark horse of a movie. Mm-hmm.
That
and
was,
then it's just
that,
like
directed by Ron Howard.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
That's so sad. I should remind Ron Howard he made this movie.
Hey, it's like, hey, Ron, remember Gung-Ho?
Remember that really culturally insensitive movie that pisses off not only, like, Detroit, but, like, most Asian cultures? Like, it's...
Actually,
it's offensive.
Gung-Ho was pre-Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's this, like, weird, like, okay, we'll take the guy from Gung-Ho, like, we'll put him up in a stripe suit and call him Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching Gun Home, like, on TV when I was a kid.
I watched it in, like, my economics class in high school, because it was like, oh, it's about strikes, so let's watch Gung Ho.
The strike is because these fucking workers are terrible. Like, they're all drinking on the job.
Yeah.
And they all hate their employee.
Like
openly hate their employers.
The fact, like, the Tommy Boy factory was, like, so much more efficient and, like, way better at doing everything than, like, the Gung Ho factory.
I don't even know what they just made parts,
they made,
right?
They made car parts, but it was like everyone there was like super like efficient and like, yeah, they knew what their job was, and like the Gung-Ho people was just like, whatever.
Holy shit, I didn't realize this. Yeah, Tommy Boy and Gung-Ho have the same similar plot about saving the factory.
Mm-hmm.
Except Tommy Boy did it right and with less racism, and Gung-Ho went straight for the jugular of like, fuck you, Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no, like, evil Rob Lowe coming in to
no,
help the
no.
Gung-Ho factory.
But goddamn, yeah. So to the listeners, if you had imagined watching Gung-Ho, just watch Tommy Boy and imagine everything going wrong.
Even though everything kind of goes wrong in Tommy Boy until like the very last second, but
yeah, yeah.
So anything else, Chris?
No, I think my description of Gung-Ho was like unheard of for the last 20 years.
You listened into the 80s economic culture.
I just like the idea that we have a state in America that is just like a third world country because cars don't get made there anymore. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't figured out how to stop that.
Hey, they got RoboCop statues. So that's all they need.
Fuck cars. All we need now is RoboCop. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I watched a few things over the last week or so. Just quick, I watched RIPD finally, and it was all right.
That's what I felt.
It just... It's trying so hard to be Men in Black, and just everything about it is just a little bit off. Like, not quite at the level that it probably could be.
I do like that Joker-esque scam. I mean, the Joker plan of, like, being caught, and that's then like, we activate, like, a bomb.
That's every movie ever now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, every movie is, like, the villain is getting captured as part of the villain's plan.
With impossible like odds of like the device
and then
hiding
also, and then
going
most likely
off.
Like getting locked in like a clear plastic cell for some reason so they can like taunt the hero.
Oh, they weren't even like in a cell; they were just like in chairs
no,
in
I was
the waiting room.
A lot like Avengers and Skyfall and like Blacklist and all these other like there's a bunch of shows and movies that like the villain gets like locked in like this clear cell so they can just like walk around and like taunt the hero.
Hmm.
Yeah, RPD was just like throw him in like. The freaking like drunk tank of heaven or whatever.
The drunk tank.
Yeah, I mean it was.
So, do you have any questions about the rules about like how this works?
I wish they had gone more into like the weird stuff of like the rules and stuff. Cause Men in Black and like Ghostbusters, they go into like I love because they go into like the. They mention things, or they bring up things, and they explain things.
Well, they always mention like the book that. Like,
yeah, Men in Black always references like these weird like past alien events that happened, or like weird
right.
species, or like Kay always brings up something that happened, or in like Ghostbusters they bring up like Tobin's Spirit Guide all the time, or other like historical events. And this one, there was a little bit of that with like the Indian food stuff and like the cards they use to, like trick people and like
human is like what. Ghost freak out on like I was like I don't get that.
Not as clever as like I'm trying to think of, like when in Men in Black when they like they when they find out Tony Shalhoub is like an alien for the first time like that's way more
shoot him.
Yeah because it's like you get the history like Kay knows everything's going on so and like just like, yeah but like everything it was just not it was like half done everything in RP was like half done.
Yeah, or like the weird like soul tornado thing.
Yeah, they feel like this is weird like Egyptian artifact they have to collect to like open a portal and reverse like the flow of souls.
Or the fact that like you can just somehow escape that where it looked like you couldn't, but it's like yeah, that's how people
yeah,
like the people
like,
who
how do you just escape from the fucking like soul tornado? Like Kevin Bacon escaped from the soul tornado is like. Yep,
I want to see
I'm a
that.
Cop. I'm still cop here. I got my magical like bracelet that I wear that like keeps me from rotting. And my partner, my partner doesn't know I've been dead for like 5 years.
Yeah, what a bad partner where you couldn't realize your own partner got killed and is now like a zombie.
Yeah. So I mean, it's definitely. Definitely not the worst movie I've seen this year. Definitely not the best movie I've seen this year. But like, and I think it's gonna be one of those weird like trivia movies of like, hey, remember when Jeff Bridges was in RIPD?
he issued an apology. Like, I'm sorry, I'm in that movie.
Yeah. Although I think he clearly understood what the hell was happening. Like, he knew that movie was like stupid. It was just like. I'm gonna do a crazy accent.
Yeah, he looks like he had the most fun making it because his character's
like,
pretty awesome.
Ryan Reynolds is just like grim, this like,
my life's over, I'm dead, my wife.
What a fucking comic book movie.
And then, it's like Ryan Reynolds, whenever he's in a comic movie, just like, it decays.
Yeah.
And then, but Jeff Bridges was, his coyote story, his, like, that repeating
was
joke
fun,
was pretty
yeah,
funny.
Fun joke, yeah. I definitely agree with you too, Chris, like, I would love, like, more of, like, the hilarious, like, juxtaposition of, like, when they're doing the action stuff, just, like, have, like, James Hong just, like, running around with his banana.
As I said, I want to see that version, where it's just all the movie with James Hong with the banana.
Yeah, James Hong and, Marissa Miller.
Some blonde bimbo.
So, yeah, watch that. I saw Hunger Games Catching Fire, which was good. definitely better than the first one. Especially, like, the action was way better. Because that was the main thing in, like, the first one. The first one had, like, it got the characters right and it got the setting right, but, like, the action was atrocious. Like, probably the worst, like, of all the movies that had, like, horrible Steadicam or, like, Shaky Cam that year, that was, like, the worst one. Because you had no idea what the hell was going on. So they definitely fixed that with a new director. I wasn't as, like, a lot of people were, like, bothered by, like, the ending. I know, Joe, you were, like, just ends nowhere. Just Lon.
Maybe.
He just, like, wandered off.
No, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. I was saying, like, you were, like, you didn't
care
for the ending of the games.
I wasn't a huge fan of the abrupt ending. That's it.
I mean, it did bother you because you're like, because the third one is a, like, the second they announced the second one, like, the third one was a foregone conclusion, so.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So it's definitely, absolutely. Like, just, like, Empire Strikes Back or, like, Matrix Reloaded style of, like, you guys know it's coming, so whatever.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. The next two movies for the third book.
Right.
Which that one should hopefully be insane, because, like, the third book is basically just a war book. Like, they just go into, like, fighting in, like, the bombed-out cities. Like, down southern, like, President Snow just goes insane and just, like, starts bombing everything. And then, like, Katniss is running around, like, in, like, a Mockingjay battle suit with, like, a crazy, like a Hawkeye bow and stuff. And, like, it has, like, all these, like, gadgets on it. And they fight lizard men.
Exciting.
So I don't know if that one probably won't be on my top 10 list either, but it might probably be like an honorable mention or something. It was solid, but there's like a ton more movies that were above it this year, I think.
Yeah.
And then also for the my latest Enter the Asylum feature, I watched Transmorphers finally.
Transmorphers.
Robots with no budget.
It's true.
Have either guys seen Transmorphers? That seems like
I've seen half.
That seems
of it.
Like one of the like more well known Asylum movies. Like that's the one. That's the one that kind of gave them their moniker of mockbuster makers.
Oh, for sure.
I do like how they shoehorn in this like lesbian relationship that pops out of nowhere.
Yeah, the weirdest is like everyone they just call everyone sir no matter what their sex is. So like women are sir. And it's like,
sir.
And everyone's boned each other once at least.
Yeah. And also it has the most awful cat fight you have ever seen in the movie.
Oh,
it's on the feature if you want to check it out. It's from YouTube. But like, yeah, like it's just like at one point there's the squad going out on this mission, and I guess the other girls who are going on the mission are like, well, you guys are coming back, so we're stealing your bunks. It's like, shut up, bitch. We're keeping our bugs. And again, it's like this huge fight. Yeah,
like, the director who made this was definitely, like, aiming for a porno, but then he's like, well, actually, let's not make a porno.
I think, because this is definitely, like, as far as the sound movies goes so far that I've seen, it's, like, a huge step up as, like, special effects-wise, because it's actually, like, the Transmorphers are actually in it for, like, more than the first 5 minutes of the movie. Like there's actually Transmorphers in it for most of the movie. So I think whatever they spent on, like, the special effects, they, like, just ignored, like, acting and everything else.
They got a bunch of, like, college kids to, like, be involved.
Well, it's, like, it's just, like, they have, like, watching them back to back to back, there's definitely, like, this, like, rogues gallery of, like, Asylum actors they keep getting. like the brothers and like cousins of the director just keep coming back and coming back. But it's, even though it's supposed to be like a parody or like a ripoff of Transformers, it's definitely way more like The Matrix or Terminator, because like we sent this message into space and then the Transmorphers show up and take over the planet. I think they say in like 5 minutes, 90% of the planet's dead. And it's just like, and then it cuts to 300 years later from when the Transmorphers attack and take over the planet. It's like 300 years later, humanity's like underground, and there's this like insane like law or rule where anyone who like basically says we should fight the Transmorphers are like locked away in like Demolition Man style cryo prisons. Because like the main dude is like, he basically was like, we should go fight the robots, and everyone's just like, no, you're a traitor. You're getting locked up in cryo prison. We have to form our super complicated, like ridiculous councils for everything. So just like the military council, the science council, the medical council, the food council, like all these different councils. That's what they spend their time doing instead of like building a resistance to robots.
Yeah, it's not a very action-y movie, but from what I remember. But then, it's very, like, deceiving.
But then it's, like, at the end of the movie when, like, the robots are attacking, everyone's just like, yeah, super, yeah, we gotta, for humanity, fight the robots. Like, when, like, it's actually, like, going to affect them, they're like, oh, yeah, well, now we'll fight the robots. Obviously.
Yeah, it's obviously, like, oh, now yeah. I understand what you're talking
yeah,
about.
I mean, I, yeah, kill I, was, these I was always, I was always for fighting robots. There's, like, and there's like, a terrible, terrible twist where, like, the main guy is actually a robot. Like, he was, like, a robot. Like, there's, like, this weird, like, scientist who looks like Buster from Arrested Development, or, like, the dean from Community. Like, he, like, builds, he just builds androids for no reason. And so the main dude is actually, like, an android, and they put, like, a fuel cell into him that has, like, a shutdown code, and he, like, puts himself into, like, the heart of the Transmorpher, like, headquarters, and, like, sends this code out that shuts down the Transmorphers.
Nice.
I will give them credit though that like they didn't like Transmorphers didn't in it for more than the first 5 minutes, which is nice. Which is like the last time I watched Dragon was the dragon was in it for like maybe 5 minutes total of the entire movie. And they actually transform, which is like a nice surprise. I just figured they would have like these just generic robots that just walked around and did basically did nothing, but they do actually transform into like guns or tanks or planes, so it's way more ambitious than you would expect from the Asylum, or at least I would expect the Asylum so far from the movies I've seen. And next one I'm watching in 2 weeks is Alien vs. Hunter.
Oh, God.
Whoever wins, we lose.
Well, they've got a point.
And last thing I watched is the original Old Boy, not the remake, because that's nowhere good. Near me.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we didn't get it at the theater I work at for some reason. Like,
did you even get the poster?
I thought we did, but I think they cut down the release like by half before it came out. Because it was
like 10, 5, 2.
Yeah, I think it was in like 500 theaters or 1,000 theaters when it. Opening weekend, and it made like no money, so now it's never going to come out in any more theaters, probably. Yeah, but the original one is pretty awesome, super disturbing, super weird,
super Asian.
Yeah, super Korean, like just like straight up, like Koreans love revenge. It's the main thing you can learn, because pretty much every Korean movie is like someone getting revenge on someone. Although the reason for the revenge in Old Boy is kind of like, it seems like not, like, it's for what he, for what the main guy does to Old, like, Ode's son, it doesn't really warrant that level of just, like, evilness, I don't think.
No, I get you're angry, but it's been, like, long.
Yeah.
Plus, I can't figure out, like, the age, because Ode's son is, like, way older than the main villain.
Well, he's been locked away in a room for 15 years, Chris. I'm sure that aged him a little bit.
No. I guess it aged him, but like, it's like, was
because they're both like the same. They post, it's stated that like,
they were in like a, they like were a, the same age. Like a high school, I think, or something. They were in like high school together, and then like hit, like it's like the day before he was gonna leave to like go to like some other school. Like he just like spread this, like he's like, oh man, this guy was doing this, and then everything happened.
Turned out to be everything happened. Yeah. So it's like, huh.
It feels like something like on like on Game of Thrones or something, like something like, if like Joffrey heard something and it was like so, like someone said just said some like kind of like mild insult or something against Joffrey, and Joffrey'd be like, I'm gonna murder you and your entire family, and then put your heads on this pole, and then throw your pole into like this like bear infested woods, and have bears eat them, and then like
it's very over the top punishment, and I get it. Like the guy was pissed.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like his escape, his like rehabilitation, his like revenge is very weird and very like
complicated.
Yeah. I mean, but there's like really three best fight scenes in this whole movie, but the tension up to it is like pretty good, especially when like when he goes back to his imprisonment place and he's hammering the fuck out of people.
Yeah, I mean obviously I think everyone knows the hammer fight.
Yeah, even people who didn't see all of Old Boy, the original Old Boy, or even the new one, like they just like the hammer scene. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but then like beginning and the middle of the movie, there's like a bunch of fight scenes, and then like kind of like just like tapers off, and it's just like this weird like investigation at the end of the movie, and like, or like the flashback reveals of like last hour is just like flashbacks and reveals.
It's just like them sitting and talking,
and like the main bad guy's like apartment, like, do you remember this? Do you remember this?
See, that's what I say. Like their age is really weird because their memories are like different. Yeah. Like, because like they're like way younger.
Well, there's
like,
apparently there's also like hypnosis and drugging involved too. So
that's true. There's a lot of like weird hypnosis subplots and meanings behind that.
Yeah, and the solution at the end is insane as well. Because it's like that's not really a solution to your your problem that you have. Either of them, what he does to himself and what he does. Well, I mean both things he does to himself, but. Yeah, neither of those things are a solution that you should be thinking about. I guess the new one is kind of like the American, the Spike Lee one is just like kind of like, I guess he just kind of walks away from everything.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no like, is the twist the same?
The same, yeah.
Really? I thought they changed it up.
I thought I heard that as well, but I read like the description on Wikipedia and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the same thing. Yep. They kind of changed the context of what he saw or what he like told, like
said.
Spread, like the rumor he spread or like the thing that kind of like set through like the events in motion is different.
I mean, but the Korean version when he says it is very Asian, like funny, like to say because it's like, oh, they say that and it's like a mean thing to say.
Yeah,
you say that in America, it's doesn't like, sit too well.
Well, the whole thing is like. You talk too much. I'm going to fuck your entire life over. It starts out with like that weird like 10-minute montage of him in like drunk in the police station.
Yeah, and he's like, "Hey, call my wife to like pick me up," and then he disappears. And it's like, these are terrible cops.
But it's definitely like there's been like a bunch of like. Like Korea's definitely become like one of the like cult movie places in recent years.
Their horror movies are getting really a good attention.
It's horror and like revenge thrillers are like their two things that they've been doing. And there's like, and then now there's now the like it's kind of like, I think like in the kind of like the early 90s or like mid 90s it was like Chinese with like getting like John Woo over here and a bunch of other people. Now it's like getting like all these Korean directors because like. I'm trying to think who it was. It was like Last Stand was like Kim Ji Woo or something who did like he did like I Saw the Devil or something. And the Old Boy director directed it was I can't remember the movie, but it was like it had like Nicole Kidman.
Park.
Yeah,
Park Chan or something like that.
Yeah, it had, like, Nicole Kidman, and it was, like, this weird, like, family drama. Stroker, I think it was.
Oh, the one where, like, it's about, like, the creepy uncle who comes back.
Yeah,
and
yep.
And trying to seduce, like,
yep.
the niece.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Stoker, yep.
Yeah, like, it's really weird tension, and he loves, like these terrible, like, family, like, secrets.
Yeah, Chan-Wook Park.
Yeah, a lot of his movies deal with, like, these, like, themes of, like, fucking with families, and then, like, mm-hmm. what would happen if, you know, family members are, like, disappearing or something.
And then, like, and a ton of them are on Netflix, too. Like, if you watch some Korean, like, thrillers or horror movies, like, they're all on Netflix for some reason, which is kind of awesome, though, but... Like, Old Boy's on there. Like, I saw the Devil's on there. There's, like, The Good and the Bad and the Weird, which is, like, a Korean, like, Western action movie. Chaser is another one. Just a ton of, like, if you want to, like, get into some Korean movies, apparently just go on Netflix and start just watch one and then do the next one they suggest or something. So, anyway, that's it for me. So I think it's going to do it for this week's show. I think we'll have a regular show next week, and then we'll have a special Christmas commentary for Christmas week, because Christmas is on Wednesday, when we normally record, so... I don't think any of us are going to be here for Christmas, but we'll have a special commentary up for you, hopefully. And we'll have our Best of the Year list up in, hopefully in the next week or two as well, because it's that time. Got it figured out, Chris?
Not yet.
Okay, get on that. Yes, check the site for those. Check the podcast for those. www.everythingaction.com for all the trailers we talked about this week, all the news, everything else, all our normal features, everything else is on there. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/TVAction, everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action on iTunes. You can get our app on there. You can also get our podcast episodes, commentaries, all that other stuff that comes through the feed. Subscribe on there, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. And you can also get us on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. Search for us on there. You can stream us and download us on there. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.